We've been talking about various aspects of living the Christian life this summer, living in integrity in a fallen world, we talked about first, then being a person of peace in unpeaceful times, and now living in hope, not just hopeful feelings, but true hope, the kind of hope that St. Paul talked about to the church in Rome in the first century when they were under persecution, when he said this, "Now hope that is seen is not hope, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." Hope that's centered not at the outset in our own abilities to make things happen, although action is definitely part of the Christian life, right? Or in a particular outcome to a particular situation or project, but a hope in God that sometimes seems stupid and foolish to the world around us. And you know what? That's the kind of faith and hope that was talked about in this story that we heard earlier about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they were thrown into the fiery furnace for their refusal to bow down to fake gods. And when we're faithful to God and God's word at the heart of our lives, we're sometimes going to be under fire, aren't we? Sometimes it leads us to say things and do things that are contrary to the world around us, and that can get us in trouble. But let's not forget that that's exactly what God Jesus crucified, didn't it? And I have to give Pastor David credit for taking the risk last week of getting thrown into the fire with that faithful witness of a sermon he did, you know? But here's the deal in our scripture sermons, lessons for today. This is what it's all about, and this is my main point regarding hope. People of faith, people who hope against hope in the power of God, when those people of faith enter into a difficult situation, there are unexpected outcomes. Unexpected, sometimes even by them. Outcomes like people who gathered to support those who were grieving this last week at the death of Heather Heyer in Charlottesville. And people like an African-American woman, I forget her name, who yesterday in Boston went to shield and defend a couple Nazi flag carriers who were being spit on by the crowd because she said they have as much right to free speech as I do. That kind of hope and action that can get you into trouble. Remember this image a few weeks ago I told you about our trip to Germany, some of us, and this is St. Nicholas Church in Leipzig, Germany, in East Germany. And it's the place where prayer started in 1982 with four or five people praying for peace in Europe. And by 1989, it looked like this. The church was packed. 8,000 people came one night and 70,000 people outside in the streets, and they marched and prayed for peace in Europe and in Germany. And who could have imagined the reunification of Germany, East and West, with not one single death? All because a group of people started praying and seeking God's guidance so that ultimately the wall in Germany came down. Incredible. Who would have thought that? Or think of the freedom movement in South Africa, out of which some of our favorite songs come, like We're Marching in the Light of God, that song that we sing around here a lot of times. After decades of stubborn hope in God by people of faith, when those dehumanizing practices of apartheid ended, all those who committed crimes, racial violence crimes in South Africa, they were told if they came forward and confessed, they would be forgiven and set free. Who would have ever imagined such a thing? Unexpected. That outcome, of course, didn't come without many faithful Christians getting thrown into the fire, did it? Well, when people of faith enter into a difficult situation, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did, trusting in God for the outcomes, there can be unexpected outcomes. You don't even have to look any further than your own neighborhood sometimes for this to see the truth of it. A few months ago, there was a dispute that flared up in our little cul-de-sac in our neighborhood, and everybody was at odds with each other, angry and hostile with each other, until Emily made this big batch of cookies that she loves to make, and she took a plate and went house to house and gave a plate of cookies to each family and said, "Can you please come out so that we can all talk about this and resolve it together?" And you know what? We did. It worked. There's something about Emily's cookies. Well, actually, there's something about stubborn hope. When you decide to enter into tough situations, unexpected things can happen. We Christians, of course, we really should know better than to get cynical and hopeless. We of all people should not be surprised by the power of God. After all, look at what happened here in this scene. Just when it looked like the forces of evil and death had won, God acted. And 3 days later, guess who was risen again? You can't kill God's love. You just can't kill God's love. And in our second reading today, we heard from St. Paul, if for this life only we have hope, if we only hope in the outcomes we expect, for instance, we are of all people most to be pitied because, in fact, contrary to all expectations, Christ is risen from the dead. Christ is risen from the dead. The first fruits of those who have died, including us. We should know better than to watch the news and get ourselves all worked up feeling negative and helpless and blaming and victim-like. Do you know what Luther called despair? The word despair means without hope. You know what he called that? It's cynicism and hopelessness. He called it the great and dreadful sin. Cynicism and hopelessness is the great and dreadful sin. Why? Because ultimately it's a great big fat lie that says we're still dead in our sins. Instead, when we stand as people of faith in the most fiery of situations, we're simply doing what God calls us to do. And we do it because we know better. We know that the yes of God has the power to overcome even death and the grave, for heaven's sakes. So don't you think that this God can handle our current crises and conflicts in this world? Here he is calling us, his faithful people, to follow him, sometimes into fiery situations, knowing that whatever the immediate outcomes, God always has the last word. God always wins. And we know something else, too. We do know this. If we get stuck and don't know what else to do, this is where we were supposed to start in the first place anyway, right? With God in prayer. Prayer has power, more than you know. And that's why we're going to invite all of you to join us in a peace prayer vigil every Wednesday night starting September 13th. You can come here to the sanctuary just for a few minutes from 6:30 to 7, or you can set a ding or a bell on your cell phone so that if you're home getting dinner ready or if you're driving home from work, a ding signifies to you, this is my moment, even if it's for just 30 seconds, to pray for peace in our world, peace in our nation, peace in our own hearts. Even if it's just for 30 seconds, we're going to invite all of us to be part of this prayer every Wednesday night indefinitely. And then, when out of our prayerful deliberations, we're called to do something in a situation, particular situation, it'll be out of that power of God that ultimately brings not more hate and anger, but love, reconciling love, into a broken and fallen world desperately in need of God's love. It won't be to harm, but to help. And again, it's a fact. The Bible is shot full of stories about this. We should know better. When people of faith enter difficult situations, there are unexpected outcomes. unexpected even by them oftentimes, because they serve a God who has all the power over all the forces of the devil, the world, and yes, even of our own sinful selves. So when, in hope, you feel called to do something, even if it looks like you could be getting yourselves thrown in the fire, Paul says, be steadfast, unmovable, always excelling in the work of the Lord, because you do know that in the Lord your efforts are never in vain.